Interrupting the current neo-Ukrainian climate-challenged, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting episode BTWRLM 670. And remember, being free is not a spectator sport, so get you behind the woodshed. And again, it's donation season for those of you that can. And please do. We're asking for some cash at least to get some of this hardware replaced. Would hope that more people would be helping out. The numbers are starting to come back as sound and the crew just got a lot of the system back up. I have to say, though, I think we have lost the membership list. So those of you that are members and haven't been receiving anything, I think that's being put back together, I hope. And there was, again, this glitching that started to happen, started to take stuff out and had to be tracking things down. So you've been waiting for whatever the feature was for the RLM membership. Hopefully coming back online. I think I heard that the list was found. So we put that back in place, like a lot of the other things have been being put back in place. And that'll be great. Then you can get the, I think it's, you get send out whatever comes off the Ghost publisher. And you get to know what's happening first right off the bat. And again, we have equipment to replace. And I don't know, again, we look at the numbers. If everybody was to buy the crew a coffee, I think they'd have so much caffeine in them, they'd be overjoyed to go buy all the equipment we need. Within the first, even a couple of weeks, it seems that the numbers are picking up that much faster. And apparently, C Rumble is being a little bit nicer to us. So those of you over there, thank you very much for tuning in. And hopefully you get something out of what we do at reallibertymedia.com. I hope you get something out of what I do. And I did see that William Roberts' archives are up. In fact, sound reminded me a long time ago when I got started that William Roberts and I did an interview together. I think we were talking about property rights way back in 2009. So long-standing relationship there. It was sad to see Will pass, but I guess all the good stuff must pass. Maybe too soon for most of us, but we could sure use some of that in-depth research right now. Again, just to show people, it's nuts and bolts. It's just the fact, the black and white. It's all there to tell us. We don't have to be too far. I go through the newsstis to tell you what the propaganda is, essentially, and what the notice is. The newsstis, the news notice to us. That's what the news is. It's notice to us, giving us that first opportunity of what we might be able to do instead of standing around and gawk. And what they've worked into is that we tend to want to gawk. We tend to want to just watch, like witnesses, spectators, the breads and circuses. And I'm suggesting to you that in these newsstis articles is things and messages and clues of what you can do for yourself. And that's really what it boils down to. Become vocal local. My local for William Roberts saying that was each one of you and myself. Each one of us does our own local responses that we need to do. We do have to pick our battles. However, there's a battle everywhere, it seems. And if you don't have one, at least, that you're doing, you're watching the world change on you and for you without your input. And one of those things I've been watching, just because, again, the due process, I believe, may be one of the few remaining things we have to rely on with all the adulteration and corruption that's gone on. And I watch this immigration stuff with a bit of a disdain given what Trump does to it, and it's not necessary. Again, Obama, he sent out more people than Trump ever thought to send out, and we never really heard much of it. And so there's a way to, like I said, there's a way to go about stuff, and then there's a way to, the way Trump does it, and it's really just a promotion, almost everything, a PR to him. So the tiny screen, World Wrestling Federation stuff, just want to make it look good for you. And you tune into it, people embrace it. And he's sharp enough, or at least someone was sharp enough around him, to say, speak to people's aspirations. You don't have to give them anything. Just speak to their aspirations. They'll lock on. Well, that's not good enough for me. I hope it's not good enough for you. And I look around to find out what the problems might be, where they might go, and how to track things. And I've been walking through the story that I really have nothing more to think about it. I'm not in immigration. I don't have any cause, no dog in a fight of any of this stuff. But when I start seeing people run down, and I see the generality of the application of the laws that are being used to run people down, then they're going to run all of us down. And that's why, to me, it didn't matter about the so-called immigration-type people. If you want to embrace the huddled masses, well, then you better embrace them. And they do. The law does, and the law provides for certain due process. When I started watching it being destroyed and people being destroyed or people being taken out of their lives for no reason. And in particular, a lot of these cases that were already in process. There was no need and no ability, actually, to throw people out of the country. They were already in the process and doing what they were supposed to do under the law, which we find out Trump doesn't care about. And this story looks like it's coming to an end, although, again, they'll lead with the government's appeal. It's another international indictment here that shows the harm that the lack of due process causes and throwing people into uncertainty. Another facial injustice. The DOJ vows to appeal after judge dismisses smuggling charges against Gilmar Abrego Garcia as vindictive. And I bring this up as well. Vince Easley involved in being a witness of the Bundy matter in quite a few different places was the first on the line of this one to keep track of it, where we have vindictive prosecutions evidenced in the news if we pay attention. And one of those things I look at is, okay, that shows people that it does happen. This is not a big fairy tale. This is not a conspiracy theory. No, it's fact. And we better take stock of it so that we can address it if we can. This judge did come back. Another judge here found the prosecution on those charges were vindictive. And they were a retaliation for a civil suit that Gilmar Abrego Garcia brought. And so the DOJ spokesman calls ruling wrong and dangerous after judge found prosecution was retaliation for a lawsuit. And we're not supposed to retaliate like this. And we're supposed to be going through, and these judges and these attorneys in particular are supposed to prosecute by the law, not by their ways to like weaponize. We see the weaponization of law. But the U.S. Department of Justice vowed to appeal a federal judge's decision Friday to dismiss human smuggling charges against Gilmar Abrego Garcia, who initially entered the U.S. illegally and allegedly had suspected ties to MS-13, slamming the ruling as wrong and dangerous. Let's quote, wrong and dangerous. U.S. District Judge Waverly D. Crenshaw Jr. on Friday threw out a two-count indictment in Tennessee against Abrego Garcia, ruling the DOJ's actions amounted to vindictive and selective prosecution. Quote, vindictive and selective prosecution in violation of the Fifth Amendment's due process clause. So again, we're focused on that due process clause. And so we have a Fifth Amendment. It says we get due process where everybody thinks all these things are not there. Well, at least this one's there. And we see it again. In this case, I don't know why I picked this case up. It just had all the earmarks. It was going to go down wrong the whole entire way. And part of it was this guy was in country. He was going through the process and he was kicked out. He was sent down, sent away. And it's not supposed to happen. That's not supposed to happen. And we found that through the judge decisions prior to this. So the whole thing starts to fall down because of the prosecution's intent to make this guy look bad when it was actually a retaliation for how he was making them look bad. Abrego Garcia was facing charges after allegedly conspiring to smuggle roughly 600 illegal immigrants in the U.S. annually between 2016 and 2025, according to a cooperating witness. I mentioned Vince Easley and Ammon Bundy and the Bundy matter. We saw some of that, I believe, if I remember correctly. Cooperating witnesses. They're just not cooperating. They're likely a lot closer to the government. Quote, another activist judge has placed politics above public safety, close quote, a DOJ spokesperson told Fox News. Quote, the judge's order is wrong and dangerous and we will appeal, close quote. The federal investigation was initially sparked by November 2022 traffic stop in Tennessee and included suspected ties to the MS-13 gang and human trafficking. The case became a constitutional standoff after the executive branch deported Abrego Garcia to El Salvador in March 2025 due to an alleged, quote, administrative error, close quote. So tell me again, how many allegedlies does the government believe can take place to equal a conviction requiring no due process before judgment? Top Justice Department officials under the leadership of Attorney General Pam Bondi and Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche then pushed for an indictment according to court documents. In his 32-page memorandum opinion, Crenshaw determined the DOJ's rapid pivot from closing the case to prosecuting Abrego Garcia was a direct retaliation for his successful civil lawsuit, calling it an abuse of prosecuting power. The judge concluded, quote, absent Abrego's successful lawsuit challenging his removal to El Salvador, the government would not have brought this prosecution, close quote. As a result of the finding, Crenshaw formally dismissed the indictment and vacated Abrego Garcia's conditions of release. Senator Chris Van Hollen, a Democrat out of Maryland, who flew to El Salvador in April 2025 to meet with Abrego Garcia after he was deported to the country's Terrorism Confinement Center, the CCOT, mega prison, hailed Friday's decision. Quote, today, a federal judge made clear that we have a long known the Department of Justice was engaged in a vindictive prosecution against Gilmore Abrego Garcia, Van Hollen said in the statement. Quote, this decision is a strong repudiation of Trump's lawless DOJ and a win for the constitutional rights of everyone in our nation. And so that underpins what I've been saying. You're going to attack the Constitution, you attack that Fifth Amendment, you attack your due process. That's how you first know about it. The due process is eliminated or constrained and restrained at some point. You know you have a constitutional violation on your hand. It touches everyone. Again, that's why I picked it up. This is what I could see coming, and I don't think I chose wrong the case. The one case of all the cases that would lead us through this. Now, they're going to appeal. We'll see what happens as it goes through. The point is, we're watching a consistency coming and being stated that is very important for us to hold on to. What I tell everybody, in order to impose back to the government that you insist on the due process that's available to you, which means you have to go read and you have to understand what that might be. And you press it. In a couple of cases I've had, I said, well, let's press it anyway. We can support it. You can go to court, look the judge straight in the eye, and support what you say, even though you don't have any outward proof. Sometimes there's no cases for that. Sometimes there's no touching it by the legislation. But it's still there. It's still there and available. And so here we have again, the court came back and was able to identify, most importantly here, identify government wrongdoing outside of the case, outside of the lawful prosecution that we use as, again, the notice. We can use this to say, how would I or you recognize we might be in a vindictive, retaliatory type of a government interaction? Trump announces finalization of Iran deal. Talk about due process and the failure right on the face. Diplomatic due process. Trump announces finalization of Iran deal. He actually tied this up with saying that the blockade would be removed by the United States if they would make a decision and make that final decision. It turns out there was no decision made. So here we have Taco Tuesday coming right around the corner. But the U.S. president says a peace agreement has been largely negotiated. These are in quotes. He says this, quote, largely negotiated, close quote, with the, quote, final aspects, close quote, still under discussion. To say anything to calm the market so it doesn't reflect on how bad he's munged up the financial condition of every American whom I never think about in any regard, he said. But my billionaire buddies can profit from their misery and eventual digital capture. But the point of me mentioning this article is to show the liar in chief already knows last week he had no deal. As anyone could read from the Newstis, he's not even trying to hide the lies. And there is no real deal on the horizon anywhere, is there? There is no deal because Iran already set the inviolable terms. Which is likely why Trump demanded everyone drop what they were doing anywhere and head for the White House Situation Room. Made a big issue about all this. And posting a picture of Iran with stars and stripes filling entirely within the border of the territorial of Iran. Again, promo. PR. Remember last week, last episode, you're telling us what I've been telling you all this was about. U.S. President Donald Trump has said that a peace agreement with Iran has been largely negotiated. Is that true? Who is talking about that. Who else is bringing this up? Iran's certainly not bringing it up. It is now being finalized, signaling a potential breakthrough after nearly 3 months of war and repeated threats of renewed American strikes, which he did. Trump said that he had held what he described as a, quote, very good call, close quote, from the Oval Office with leaders and officials from Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, Qatar, Pakistan, Turkey, Egypt, Jordan, and Bahrain, including Iran, and, quote, all things related to a memorandum of understanding pertaining to peace. Quote, an agreement has been largely negotiated, subject to finalization between the United States of America and the Islamic Republic of Iran and the various other countries, close quote, Trump wrote on Truth Social. That's where we want to do our diplomacy. Again, this is all for your consumption if you'll eat it. Buy into it. Bite into it. He added that he has separately spoken with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and that call likewise, quote, likewise went very well, close quote. Trump said the, quote, final aspects and details, close quote, of the deal were still being discussed and would be announced shortly. He also claimed that among other elements of the agreement, the Strait of Hormuz, quote, will be opened, close quote. Remember, it was opened before he got his big foot in it. It was opened right now relative to the rights of Iran. The United States is closing it. Iranian media, however, disputed Trump's characterizations of the Hormuz arrangement. Farj News Agency said the waterway would remain, quote, under Iran's management, close quote, with Tehran retaining control over routes, timing, passage procedures, and permits. While Iran had reportedly agreed to restore ship traffic to pre-war levels, Farr said this did not mean a return to, quote, free passage, close quote, calling Trump's statement, quote, incomplete, close quote, and a far from reality, quote, far from reality, like reality TV, I think. Far from reality, yep, nothing on Satan, yay. I mean, Trump's horizon, right? Trump had repeatedly warned in recent days the U.S. was prepared to resume attacks if Iran failed to accept a deal to end the war, which began in late February with America and Israeli strikes on Iran. The two sides have largely refrained from direct exchanges since a fragile ceasefire was established in early April. The Strait of Hormuz, one of the world's most important energy choke points, let's just go look at that energy. Let's focus a little bit right there. I won't get too far. Most of you do the study. You know this is the point. That's really what this is all about. The United States is want to monopolize the energy distribution in the world. And that ties in over to also dollarizing the system. A lot of this is just cover. It's bluster. It's PR to get you to buy into it, be entertained by it. It's energy choke points, and the United States has no desire to stop that choking off of that energy control. One of the world's most important energy choke points has been a central issue in the talks. Of course it has. Iran restricted traffic through the waterway during the conflict, while Washington enforced a naval blockade on Iranian ports. Tehran has previously said the focus of the negotiations remained on ending the war, and that, quote, details related to the nuclear issue are not being discussed at this stage, close quote. The Islamic Republic has insisted that any agreement must preserve its sovereign rights and end what it describes as U.S., quote, piracy, close quote, against Iranian ships. And again, what they're restating isn't different than they've been saying the entire time. And so we can just look at that and show, yeah, so far, Trump is so far from reality. We then have to go look at what be why. What might be going on there? Well, it's not straightforward. It's also not peace. It's a shifting game. It's also using proxies to get what they want. And then I'm suggesting underneath all that, there is a coalescing of everything, but it's in that financial system to come. And a lot of it's going digital. And it won't matter that there's a split in the digits country to country. It's all going to be organized and brought together on the international side. You get your stable coins while they do the international transactions. That's all it's about, just keeping tabs. Because there is no money, remember? And a message from the Taco Tuesday Board of Misdirection. Trump slams losers criticizing Iran deal. The U.S. president has instructed negotiators, quote, not to rush, close quote, saying critics, quote, know nothing about, close quote, the ongoing talks. Now, Trump also said nobody knows the plan, which makes complete sense because Trump needs Iran's permission. To many who just said no uranium leaves Iran is not Maduro either. Besides, what deal? And going to the end of the article, it mentions a couple outstanding problems of many, at least implying Trump has no attainable plan. Iran has repeatedly portrayed control over the Strait of Hormuz as its main strategic leverage and has sought to change the legal regime governing the strait. Mohammad Mokhtar, a senior advisor to Iran's supreme leader, described the waterway as, quote, a capability equivalent to an atomic bomb, close quote. So they consider that they're an atomic device. They don't need an actual atomic device, correct? Now, before I go too much further, I think I bring up some things coming up from Oman. Remember that strait is about 21 miles across. Territorial waters, I think, is about 13 kilometers, about 10 kilometers, whatever that is. There's another country right across the way. And there's some overlapping jurisdiction. Why Oman becomes very important here as well. And it becomes, in the last week, even more important on how they're starting to now respond. The proposed MOU also reportedly states that the war between Israel and Hezbollah in Lebanon would end. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu reportedly raised concerns about that provision and other parts of the draft during his call with Trump on Saturday. Now, why would he have any input to that at all? His attacking another country. And someone saying, we don't want that to continue, which is their obligation under international law as well. Remember that. And after that call in which it was reported Netanyahu's hair was on fire, he said no. And the synagogue of Satan's lapdog immediately came off his porch to bark that there was no deal. Doesn't sound like much of a plan to me either. How about you? And for our troubles, the ever-continuing embarrassment of the American people, U.S. President Donald Trump lashed out at critics of a still-unfinished peace deal with Iran, saying negotiations with Tehran are proceeding in a, quote, orderly and constructive manner, close quote, but that he has instructed his representatives, quote, to not rush, close quote, into an agreement. And I want you to go back and I want you to define for me what orderly and constructive manner means. To whom, by whom, and for whom. Oh, it might be orderly and constructive, but it may not be to a peace deal. And that's what I'm wondering when I pointed out to y'all this statement about it being an energy choke point. Trump insisted that any deal reached by his administration would not resemble the Obama-era 2015 nuclear agreement. Well, of course not. It didn't have Netanyahu's stamp of approval, did it? It would not resemble Obama's era 2015 nuclear agreement, which he unilaterally abandoned. Trump unilaterally abandoned during his first term and is described as, quote, one of the worst deals ever made, close quote. Quote, our deal is the exact opposite, but nobody has seen it or knows what it is. Nobody? Literally nobody? It isn't even fully negotiated yet, he wrote on his social media network, True Social, on Sunday. Is that a plug? Maybe it is. Should I even mention it anymore? Fake news social? What is that? Are we going to get plugged? We're going to get censored over there too? Gone? Then why would it be negotiated at all, let alone fully, if in literally nobody has seen it? Quote, so don't listen to the losers who are critical about something they know nothing about, close quote, or that nobody knows about, right? And then maybe it's not about that anyway, is it? That's all not defined. I still can't believe it's not butter, folks. I really can't. Multiple hardline Republicans have criticized the rumored terms of the deal, with U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham warning they would be a, quote, nightmare for Israel, close quote, and Senator Ted Cruz calling them a, quote, disastrous mistake, close quote, and Senator Roger Wicker saying they could render the achievements of Operation Epic FUBAR, quote, for naught. For naught? Except because Operation FUBAR. And the Zionista mouthpiece, Axios, reports on Sunday that the emerging deal would take the form of a 60-day memorandum of understanding, which could be extended by mutual extent. Doesn't sound like a peace deal to me. It's a memorandum of understanding. Doesn't mean anything. Under the draft, the Strait of Hormuz would be reopened without tolls, Iran would clear mines it had deployed in the waterway, and the U.S. would lift its blockade on Iran ports and issue limited sanction waivers allowing Tehran to sell oil. Well, all the first of that was already not happening before the United States got involved, wasn't it? The draft also reportedly includes Iranian commitments never to pursue nuclear weapons and to negotiate over suspending uranium enrichment and removing its highly enriched uranium stockpile, though the method remained under negotiation. So much for mutual agreements. But I thought nobody knows the plan. Not even the Iranians, apparently. Fox News reported that the deal, well, maybe they know, was 95% there as of Sunday, but negotiators were still haggling over, quote, language, close quote. See, the black and white is so important here. They're still haggling over it. Is that true social style language or meaningful and respectful language? And doubling down on the utility of Taco Tuesday torment, Trump said, quote, time is on our side, close quote, and warned that the U.S. blockade would remain, quote, in full force and effect, close quote. I thought he just said it was open. And I thought he said Iran had closed it. No. The United States has the blockade. It's in full force and effect until an agreement is reached and certified and signed. Iranian officials have not publicly commented on the reported terms, but previously said focus of the talks remained on ending the war, and the nuclear details were not being discussed at this stage. And let me go back and reached and signed and certified by whom? You haven't heard any of the Gulf states involved in this either, right? All of a sudden, it's not there. No, Trump threw in something else on top of all that. Another insult. Fars News Agency has also disputed Trump's claim that the Strait of Hormuz would simply be, quote, opened, close quote. Now, time may be on his Taco Tuesday calendar, but it sounds like Trump needs to really shut up and stop making claims. Stop helping his insider Wall Street betting billionaire buddies until an agreement is reached, certified, and signed. As long as he's doing this, it's not about what he's talking about. That's clear. And the Iranians are not being fooled. There's no wool to pull over those folks' eyes at this point. As I said, at some point, they finally said enough is enough. And they had been planning all this. And they have been watching very carefully. Now, whether or not they're also not part of the underlying financial, fiscal situation in the globe, I'm not quite so sure, although everyone readily jumped onto BRICS, so not so sure there either. Trump ties Iran deal to expansion of Abraham Accords, and there we have it. Now we get to the Gulf states there, the Gulf nations. So he had another plan going that he thought was going to pull over, and this isn't going so well either. On Monday, Trump said a deal between the United States and Iran should go hand in hand with other Muslim countries joining the Abraham Accords with Israel. Can you believe this guy? And what deal? In 2020, the U.S. launched a process aimed at normalizing relations between Israel and Arab countries. But it wasn't a process. It's an imposition. And we know that because not all the countries are part of it and are resisting Trump's extortion and coercion. As a result, a set of documents was signed, which came to be known as the Abraham Accords. Signed by whom? It's not explained right here. Apparently, not these targeted countries now. No, only 3 U.S. laptop countries and its terrorist tool regime signed the document. The United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, and Morocco, and the terrorist regime itself, Israel. And the United States did not even sign as a party, but a self-styled mediator, don't you know? United States President Donald Trump on Wednesday expressed uncertainty that a peace deal with Iran should be struck unless more Arab countries join the Abraham Accords. Quote, I would like to have the countries we were talking about, Saudi Arabia, UAE, Qatar, and the others. Since when is Iran's sovereignty and ability to make peace tied to the decisions of other countries, let alone the disrespect to those the sovereignty of all those other countries to unilaterally impose such a loser deal? Was it loser? I don't have to say that. There's only 3 signers to this thing. This shows that Trump, as Satan Yehu, is not interested in peace. We'd like to have them immediately join the Abraham Accord. Well, how's it feel to like? We'd like to have them immediately join the Abraham Accords. I'm not sure we should make the deal if they don't sign, close quote, Trump told reporters, pumping the self-styled accord that this Zionist political movement's son-in-law, the unelected Jared, resort and casino water theme park from the river to the sea and purported billionaire real estate developer Kushner is said to have unilaterally authored to arm twist the Muslim countries into accepting and doing business with the Zionist political movement, apartheid, racist, genocidal, expansionist regime, and synagogue of Satan. Yeah, a real peace deal. Trump also expressed belief that the countries, quote, owe this, close quote, owe this to the United States. This disaster in chief. No country owes anything to the United States. And not to leave unmentioned to commit or further genocide or the other atrocities committed by Satan Yehu's murderous zealots. In fact, of long-standing international law or time out of mind international norms, all nations have an obligation to, and duty to stop genocide or war crimes and the like. And it might be that Saudi Arabia just put its foot down and said no on top of it all. But we'll see, won't we? And Oman came right behind that, as I just now thought about it. Oman came right behind the other participant across the Strait of Hormuz, the only 2 countries that have territorial waters in that strait. Breaking from the Department of Do As I Say, Not As I Do, U.S. Treasury warns Oman against facilitating tolls for Strait of Hormuz. United States Secretary of the Treasury Scott Bessent on Thursday warned Oman against facilitating tolls on vessels sailing through the Strait of Hormuz, threatening aggressive actions against those involved. Quote, the United States government will not tolerate any effort to impose a tolling system in the Strait of Hormuz. Oman, in particular, should know the United States Treasury will aggressively target any actors involved directly or indirectly in facilitating tolls for the Strait, and all willing partners will be penalized, close quote, Bessent said, via X. I can't believe every time I read this that X becomes this locale where all the notices for governments go. But do you hear this? Do you hear this? Imposed tolling systems. Why is the Treasury involved? And we're back down to that energy control and the dollar, aren't we? Real fast. And this guy pops up now this week, threatening yet another country. It's supposed to be an ally in Oman. Someone they want into this accord, right? Efforts to hinder the free passage of commercial shipping through the waterway should be opposed by all countries, the secretary said. Okay, Scott calling the kettle black, billionaire boy Bessent, you official hypocrite. Stop imposing tolls in the form of sanctions and interfering with the free passage of Iran and those sovereign countries doing business with Iran in Iran's territorial waters, no less, or Oman in its territorial waters. Would you please? U.S. President Donald Trump on Wednesday said that under a peace agreement with Tehran, the strait will be controlled by neither Iran nor any other country as the U.S. will, quote, watch over it, close quote. Showing Trump isn't interested in peace more than international thuggery and banditry. And do you think that watching over it is free or MIC? military-Israeli complex. It's such a peace president, don't you hear? On the other hand, watching over it means nothing is going on. The leader further threatened to, quote, blow up, close quote, blow up, quote, blow up, close quote, Oman if it attempted to gain control over it. But the Strait of Hormuz was peacefully open and free of tolls before the U.S. wrongfully perpetrated hostilities against Iran, or without even having to watch over it for Satan, yea, whose greater global Zionism political movement project, you Zionist thugs. And did you catch that Trump is threatening Oman, a nation he would like to have join his Abraham Accords? Well, of course you didn't. I pointed it out. You should too. Why would any dignified country agree after such oppressive threats? Why? This is a tactic I'm not even familiar with, this thing. This might be an East Coast thing, because it just wouldn't fly in the West. I just tell you that. And speaking of normalizing global criminal abuse, U.S. negotiating tactics detached from reality, an Iranian diplomat says. Tehran rejects America's, quote, peace through force, close quote, approach, Ali Bagheri told RT. Now, since when did criminal abusers need reality? They mix stuff up as they go to justify and at the same time deny their psychopathy. I'd have never understood that if I hadn't been living through it these last few years now. It's also how criminal abusers blame their victims to others. Tell the big lie, enough, right? Adolf of the Zionist Viennese Jews, so-called, with Herzl, Goebbels of the English. How about it, Lenin, of perception management? The U.S. is making unacceptable demands during negotiations with Iran after failing to defeat the country militarily, Ali Bagheri, the deputy secretary of Iran's Supreme National Security Council, has told RT. Bagheri, who served as foreign minister from 2021 to 2024, spoke to RT in Moscow, where he attended a security conference and met with Russian Deputy Foreign Minister Grigory Borisenko. He argued that the, quote, excessive demands, close quote, made by the United States demonstrate that officials in Washington are, quote, detached from reality, close quote. Yeah, dystopian peace through force, indeed. Iran closed the Strait of Hormuz to ships from, quote, hostile countries, close quote, in response to U.S. and Israeli strikes, and has since insisted on its right to regulate traffic and collect tolls. Soon to be environmental harm taxes, I hear. And let's go back to that hostile countries. It's closed to hostile countries. The reason partly you did that is that the hostile countries could attack Iran. It's only 20 miles away going through that strait. And so they stopped that because they were under threat of attack, because the hostile countries were allies of the United States and Israel. So they had another reason why they did it. I don't want that to get lost. And I want to put us in this idea. What would you do? You got some gang, roving gang. You don't know who they're coming from. They go up and down the road right in front of your house. And so they only really closed it to countries that were hostile against them. Would you put a gate across your driveway to stop someone coming in from the road that would be normally left open? Bagheri said the conflict shows that the status of the strait is vital to Iran's security, confirming the point. It's vital to Iran's security. And so when they said they closed it, they really closed it. You know, they didn't do that at all, actually. They closed it to those that were hostile to them, coming up their driveway, and they're going to firebomb their house. Quote, Iran, like other independent countries, believes in peace through dialogue and negotiations. The U.S. does not believe in peace through diplomacy. It believes in peace through force, aggression, and barbarism, he said. And Trump admits the U.S. is like a pirate. Bagheri said there is, quote, no problem in relations between Iran and the Gulf states, blaming the U.S. for regional tensions. He argued that the military presence of the U.S. and Israel is an obstacle to peace in the region. Iran fired drones and missiles at Gulf states hosting U.S. bases during the conflict, arguing that the strikes were carried out in self-defense. And understand then that they only did that, again, this was the proportionate response. Strike at the enemy. Those nations allowed the enemy to go into their land and strike at Iran, and they struck at the enemy. They actually didn't and don't have too much of a problem with most of those Gulf states. And we're seeing that slowly come out. Oman has put its foot down, and they're saying, we don't care about you, Bassent. Can't threaten us. Saudi Arabia just did the same thing. Nope, not going to happen. They're also not signatories to the Abraham Accords. And so we can watch the build of the tension again, but at the instance of the United States. And apparently because they're out of touch of reality. Although U.S. officials indicated this week that the sides are close to reaching a preliminary agreement, there are no signs that either Washington or Tehran is willing to compromise. Both countries have accused each other of setting unacceptable terms. But Washington has no legitimate right to accuse. Washington comes with dirty hands. Clearly, it doesn't wash at all, let alone wash a ton. Forcing parity to bring on the future that they want is not a legitimate cause either, especially if Iran is in on it. If you've been noticing how Iran having hypersonic capability to take out aircraft carriers and stop that threat does not take out jet aircraft despite showing it could. And despite that apparently there is no deal Iran can't refuse, especially from gangland Wall Street thugs and pirates. On the other hand, low-level strikes below invoking full-out retaliation is the same strategy Israel does in a majority of instances, allowing incremental advance on eventually completing infrastructure destruction and territorial takeover, bringing the question back around why Iran accepts any attacks that are not reciprocated by absolute destruction of any military target that's local to them that they can reach and that has a capacity against them, or stopping just as Iran began to gain advantage, as with the 12-day ruckus, or this latest aggression, so-called, by Iran. I say so-called aggression because if Iran doesn't defend itself where it can, who cares? With all of its military bravado, it must not be that much of an aggression for Iran to care. And then why should anyone else? Unless it eventually incrementally completes the plan of the future that they want in that oh-so-inclusive, kumbaya, technocratic, shared prosperity, collectivist view world. Right, China? And you never did stop Obama's pivot to China, did you, Trump? Of course you didn't. No, of course not. You onshored the Zionist-controlled collectivist version of Hades. And speaking about Americans paying for this organized criminal syndicate gangland economic hitmen, we are not your piggy bank, U.S. lawmaker tells Zelensky. Anna Paulina Luna slammed the Ukrainian leader over a request for more air defense missiles. Ukraine's Vladimir Zelensky is treating the U.S. as a piggy bank, she says, quote, piggy bank, and is feeding Washington with, quote, propaganda, close quote, to get more U.S.-made air defense system, Republican Congresswoman Anna Paulina Luna has said. Earlier, Zelensky had asked for an, quote, urgent supply of Patriot interceptors, close quote, with the Ukrainian leader himself saying last month that the missiles are, quote, in such a deficit, or, quote, it could not be any worse, close quote. In response, Luna accused Zelensky of lying. Quote, this is literally propaganda and not even true. There is no broad support for an endless war, and we are not your piggy bank, she wrote on X again, of all places. Okay, Representative Luna, whose piggy bank are you? Propaganda feeding Satan Yehu, she voted to fund billions to Israel. Any input here? And from the Unit Party for War on Wednesday, Zelensky received Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal and Democrat Congressman Jim Himes in Kiev. On your dime, no doubt. In Kiev, saying that Ukraine is grateful to the U.S. and President Donald Trump for what he called, quote, strong bipartisan support, close quote. During the talk, Zelensky said Kiev had a, quote, significant need, close quote, for air defense missiles, adding that he had sent a letter to the White House and Congress with a wish list. Under the Trump administration, Ukraine has been procuring U.S.-made weapons mainly through PURL initiative, a NATO-backed mechanism under which Kiev's backers fund shipments for Ukraine. Remember, that's what Trump went over to set up, that NATO would be buying more military hardware and things from United States manufacturers. Zelensky has prayed, again, the United States is in on it, okay? Why would they, as I said before, why anybody can look at this and say Trump is a peacemaker when he's part of the mediation, even though Russia puts up with it, how can that even be real? No, it's no reality at all. That's not the reality. Whatever he's producing is not reality. What's reality is that the weapons manufacturers are making bank, right? Zelensky has praised the scheme, but said it does not fully cover shortages. Luna has been an outspoken critic of Zelensky, slamming the Ukrainian leader over the crackdown on the Orthodox Church and advocating a halt in U.S. aid to Kiev. Now do the Christian destruction in Palestine by Israel, Representative Luna. Please? She also has criticized Zelensky over his refusal to hold a presidential election. The Ukrainian leader's term expired in 2024, with Russia declaring him, quote, illegitimate, close quote, and suggesting that his dubious status is an obstacle to signing a binding peace deal. And I just want to remind you, I covered that behind the woodshed all these years, and she's just rephrasing exactly everything there. And so we've got confirmation that our reporting here, our reading of the Newstis was accurate, and we could take it to the bank, so to say. And we could then understand that she's talking clearly here, but it's in a different context, isn't it? She's putting up some sort of a wall, but she's only a voice. She's not actually the functional part of this grand money laundering system. Luna has also recalled that Trump has been pushing for a negotiated settlement to the conflict, but Zelensky is, quote, the only person holding out on the deal, close quote. Can we go look at Trump and Iran's deal right there, the non-deal? Quote, the war cannot continue, close quote, Luna added. And Trump doesn't know Pinocchio Zelensky is holding out? That's part of the plan, isn't it? In March, Zelensky claimed that the U.S. was pressing Ukraine to withdraw from Russia's Donbass as a precondition for any post-conflict American security guarantees. U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio, however, dismissed the claim as, quote, lies. Tell enough lies long enough, folks. Everyone says and identify their lies, but it just keeps going, doesn't it? And American money, such that it is, still flows into Ukrainian money laundering machine there, doesn't it? No one stops it. And moving back over to the similar funding scheme and how I've told you they're going to adjust things, and they are adjusting things. I've run a little article and an executive summary to an article that reads, The Disappearing Aid Check, The Future of U.S.-Israel Defense Support. So while they're calling it out up in Ukraine, they're going to hide it for U.S.-Israel defense support. Now, it's war support, correct? We got that right now, don't we? And Iran sees that. Now, as we see the word aid there, consider that like USAID. And that's what they'll be stopping. But remember, I mentioned that Trump was taking some of those programs and reorganizing and rebranding them within the State Department directly under Rubio, allowing, I should say, less public scrutiny. This reorganizing and rebranding stops AID, A-I-D, but reorganizes it under the Pentagon, rebranding it as a military expenditure, not aid, and for less scrutiny, more transparency, as it were, so it can't be seen easily. Right, Vince? Easily seen? The United States and Israel are now approaching the renegotiation of their 10-year Defense Memorandum of Understanding, or MOU. So let's go back to the other one, the whole nations and talking about war being dealt with as an MOU. This is an internal administrative function, isn't it, when they go to an MOU? It's not a peace deal, but it brings everybody into what? The fold under an authority, which Iran wouldn't be. Those Gulf countries wouldn't be under such an arrangement. But here we have the same thing. A 10-year defense memorandum of understanding is going to end. They're going to renegotiate. Well, could that happen over there in Iran for that? While they're setting that up? Sure it could. And that's how it's planned. Israeli officials have said that they want to phase out U.S. military grant aid, a position that sounds like a step toward ending U.S. military assistance to Israel. It is not. What top Israeli officials, including Benjamin Netanyahu, are quietly backing is not a reduction in American support, but an reorganization of it, shifting billions in resources from State Department-administered foreign aid grants into general Pentagon procurement accounts, industrial partnerships, and sustainment pipelines. This shift will strip away the political and diplomatic oversight mechanisms that make the relationship publicly accountable, moving it from the visible annual aid vote into the opaque machinery of defense acquisition, where oversight is limited and political accountability is minimal. And that's a joke. Have we had any accountability at all in the Pentagon? Have we had an audit actually go through from the Pentagon? Where did that $21 trillion go? The result would be a defense relationship that is simultaneously deeper and less transparent. Since fiscal year 2019, the United States has provided $3.3 billion, bravo, dollars per year in foreign military financing, or FMF, grants to Israel, plus an additional $500 million mic dollars per year for missile defense cooperation. About 25% of the FMF grant money has gone toward offshore procurement, or OSP, funds allocated to Israel to spend domestically on its own defense industry and military equipment. Effectively, it is a U.S. subsidy for Israel's military-industrial complex. This OSP precedent is slated to end with the expiration of the current MOU. This has fueled Israeli proposals to phase out FMF grants altogether, replacing them with a relationship centered on U.S.-Israeli defense integration. This would embed Israeli firms and Israeli-origin intellectual property inside larger Pentagon programs and productions. Unlike the foreign assistance process, the military procurement framework would not be subject to the political scrutiny of the Congress and the State Department, but would be evaluated on bureaucratic criteria such as cost, readiness, and capability. This shift would likely be justified by reframing U.S. support not as a handout to Israel, but as an investment in American military readiness, industrial capacity, and jobs. At a time when the U.S.-Israel relationship should be scrutinized in light of Israeli actions that run counter to U.S. interests, such a structural shift would be counterproductive. To avoid this outcome, any procurement-centered relationship should meet these three basic requirements. Clear metrics to assess whether Israeli participation in Pentagon programs serves U.S. defense requirements. Program-level transparency regarding the existence, scale, cost, and rationale of each procurement program. Cross-committee coordination in Congress to ensure visibility and accountability to non-military congressional oversight committees. And take note of should. But will likely go dark with no scrutiny as planned. and I didn't hear anything there adding that they should be compliant with the law, did we? So these are blank check subsidies for genocide and other war crimes on American dime and lifestyle. Now Zionista political movement organized crime syndicate onshored and AI enhanced. Oh, and you'll be paying dearly as well to power those surveillance, wink and nod, data centers. But what does the Almighty Vicar of Christ on Earth have to say about this? Pope's AI directive misses the moment. Matthew Walther argues uninspired document underplays AI dangers. Pope Leo XIV's first big statement on artificial intelligence lands with a thud, argues Matthew Walther in the New York Times, who finds the new papal encyclical more a cautious handbook than bracing manifesto. Quote, disappointingly measured and cautious, close quote. Quote, uninspired and unfocused, close quote. And perhaps even, quote, naive, close quote. The document treats AI as a technology to be ethically managed, not a force to be resisted outright, which Walther thinks misses the moment. For him, AI is, quote, unambiguously evil, close quote, and the Chicago-born Pope underestimates its ability, quote, to exacerbate existing crises and to accelerate processes of cheapening and redefinition. But read for him, it feels like that, not for the Holy See. According to Walther, Leo even draws the wrong lessons from the Tower of Babel, a top-down profit-driven construction he uses as an example of how not to approach technology. The moral of the story is not that the tower should have been built more ethically, but that it should not have been built at all, Walther writes. He also questions the optics of having Anthropic co-founder Christopher Ola on stage at the encyclical's presentation, likening it to inviting a Gilded Age tycoon to a speech on, quote, the dignity of labor, close quote. For him, the real Catholic answer to technological overreach will come from the church quietly modeling older human-centered practices and a sacramental life that resists being digitized. Again, for him. But it's completely consistent with the fallible one's embrace of the sustainable development and technocratic inclusive future that they want, isn't it? But Matthew Walther isn't wrong, though, is he? And speaking to that Tower of Babel, massive study detects AI fingerprints in millions of scientific papers. Now, let me harken back quite a few years ago when it was found that the Chinese were just dumping a bunch of stuff, scientific papers, into the record. They were all found to be totally rot with errors, if they were to be considered at all. But massive study detects AI fingerprints. Chances are that you have unknowingly encountered compelling online content that was created, either wholly or in part, by some version of a large language model, an LLM. As these AI resources like ChatGPT and Google Gemini become more proficient at generating near-human quality writing, it has become more difficult to distinguish between purely human writing from the content that was either modified or entirely generated by LLMs. This spike in questionable authorship has raised concerns in the academic community that AI-generated content has been quietly creeping into peer-reviewed publications. To shed light on just how widespread LLM content is in academic writing, a team of U.S. and German researchers analyzed more than 15 million biomedical abstracts on PubMed to determine if LLMs have had a detectable impact on specific word choices in journal articles. Their investigation revealed that since the emergence of LLMs, there has been a corresponding increase in the frequency of certain stylistic word choices within the academic literature. These data suggest at least 13.5% of the papers published in 2024 were written with some amount of LLM processing, the results appear in the open access journal Science Advances. Since the release of ChatGPT less than 3 years ago, the prevalence of artificial intelligence, AI, and LLM content on the web has exploded, raising concerns about the accuracy and integrity of some research. Past efforts to quantify the rise of LLMs in academic writing, however, were limited by their reliance on sets of human and LLM-generated text. This setup, the authors note, quote, can introduce biases as it requires assumptions on which models scientists use for their LLM-assisted writing and how exactly they prompted them, close quote. And this is a big issue that I started to notice. These prompts are very, 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 very important. They are critical to understand and get correct. And this is how you front-load what you're going after. It's not just like using, oh, I'm using AI to ask a question. You're actually telling this computer, this machine system, how it's going to go about doing what it's going to do with the library it has. And if you do that correctly, quality goes up in the return. In an effort to avoid these limitations, the authors of the latest study instead examined changes in the excess use of certain words before and after the public release of ChatGPT to uncover any telltale trends. The researchers modeled their investigation on prior COVID-19 public health research, which was able to infer COVID-19's impact on mortality by comparing excess deaths before and after the pandemic. By applying the same before and after approach, the new study analyzed patterns of excess word use prior to the emergence of LLMs and after. The research found that after the release of LLMs, there was a significant shift away from excess use of, quote, content words, close quote, to an excess use of, quote, stylistic and flowery, close quote, word choices such as showcasing, pivotal, and grappling. By manually assigning parts of speech to each excess word, the authors determined that before 2024, 79.2% of excess word choices were nouns. During 2024, there was a clearly identifiable shift. 66% of excess word choices were verbs and 14% were adjectives. The team also identified notable differences in LLM usage between research fields, countries, and venues. This is BTWRLM 670. So as we're looking at what this tool can do or not do for us, we're finding out, again, it's the bias sits there in how it's used. Pretty straightforward. This, as I've been saying. And the demon in the machine faces an exorcism of sorts relative to all this. Georgia court throws out earlier ruling that relied on fake cases made up by AI. Quote, we are troubled by the citation of bogus cases in the trial court's order. The Georgia Court of Appeals has tossed an order from the U.S. State Trial Court because it relied on cases that do not exist, presumably generated by an AI model. The errant citations, the appeals court said, appear to have been, quote, drafted using generative AI, close quote. This is giving us a clue that we can read and identify by reading what we might be up against in these days where it's very, very difficult to understand. Maybe your instinct, your intuitions will have to start kicking in a lot better. Judges have previously scolded lawyers for citing AI falsehoods in legal filings, but here they actually reversed a lower court's order. The case involves wife Nimat Shahid's effort to challenge a divorce order granted to her husband, Sufyan Assam, in July 2022. The lower court's decision in the case included citations fabricated by an AI model, and Shahid appealed. The Georgia Court of Appeals found that the phony cases were enough to vacate the trial court's order. Quote, we are troubled by the citation of bogus cases in the trial court's order, close quote, the appeals court said in its decision. As I've been saying, this is news to watch how they're doing this. Look at what happens. You're going to be up against a lawyer that uses AI, and you know as someone who studies the law that's wrong. You may have the whole thing vacated. This will be starting that precedent. It may not happen directly for your state, from Georgia, but it gives the precedent to argue it. We are troubled by the citations of bogus cases in the trial court's order, the appeals court said in the decision, which directs the lower court to revisit the wife's petition. Quote, as the reviewing court, we make no findings of fact as to how this impropriety occurred, observing only that the order purports to have been prepared by the husband's attorney, Diana Lynch. Hang 'em high. Trial judges often rely on attorneys to draft the proposed court orders. Lynch did not immediately respond to a request for comment. And on that, my mind went right to a couple cases, one in particular just recently. The attorneys, the prosecutors write the orders, and the courts will go right with them. You need to look at those orders that the prosecutors or attorneys write. In this case, there was a drastic error in how it was prepared based on a prior, if you will, promise to one of the litigants. So these are challengeable right up front, and I say, tell everybody to go ahead and do that. Lynch did not immediately respond to a request for comment. The appellate judges note that Lynch repeated the bogus citations in trial court order to the appeals court and expanded upon them even after Shahid had challenged the fictitious cases in the trial court's order. In total, the appeals court said Lynch's appeals brief contained, quote, 11 bogus case citations out of 15 total, one of which was in support of a frivolous request for attorney fees. I guess show me the money on this, right? The appellate court order cites a U.S. Supreme Court report as a warning, noting, at the point in time, Justice Chief Roberts presumably would have been aware of Mata versus Avianca, in which the plaintiff's attorney were sanctioned for citing fake cases, and perhaps United States versus Hayes and United States versus Cohen, which also surfaced in 2023. In his 2023 year-end report on the federal judiciary, Chief Justice John Roberts warned that, quote, any use of AI requires caution and humility. Again, it's error prone. These words are very important. Caution and humility. I say spread it out across the entirety of its use. This is maybe getting back to Pope's failure. Brought no humility to the point. Error prone. The fallible one. They kind of go hand in hand, don't they? Robert specifically noted that commonly used AI applications can be prone to hallucinations, not hallucinations, like Brian Orchard, but hallucinations, which cause lawyers using those programs to submit briefs with cites to non-existent cases. In the years since, the uncritical use of AI has continued in cases like Concord Music Group versus Anthropic, Wadsworth versus Walmart, and Coles et al. Versus Ellison, among others. At least 200 instances involving AI hallucinations in legal disputes have been documented. But the court systems are like a Tower of Babel even without AI, aren't they? And to put a finer point on the fallible one's missed moment, this was known last year. ChatGPT use linked to cognitive decline research reveals. People who relied on ChatGPT to write an essay, quote, consistently underperformed at neural, linguistic, and behavioral levels, close quote, according to the study. And that wasn't neural, linguistic, but neural and linguistic and behavioral levels. Relying on the artificial intelligence chatbot ChatGPT to help you write an essay could be linked to cognitive decline. Researchers at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology Media Lab studied the impact of ChatGPT on the brain by asking three groups of people to write an essay. One group replied on ChatGPT, and one group replied on search engines, and one group had no outside references at all. The researchers then monitored their brains using electroencephalography and a method which measures electrical activity. The team discovered that those who relied on ChatGPT, also known as large language model, had the weakest, quote, brain connectivity and remembered the least about their essays, highlighting potential concerns about cognitive decline in frequent users. Quote, over 4 months, large language model users consistently underperformed at neural, linguistic, and behavioral levels, the study reads. Quote, these results raise concerns about the long-term educational implications of large language model reliance and underscore the need for deeper inquiry into AI's role in learning. And maybe that's what it's about, right, folks? Maybe that's what it's for. Please be considerate of that as you use the AIs. The study also found that those who didn't use outside resource to write the essays had the strongest, most distributed networks. While ChatGPT is, quote, efficient and convenient, close quote, those who use it to write essays aren't integrating any of it into their memory networks, lead author Natalia Kosmoyana told Time magazine. So it's so efficient, so convenient, folks, so free. It's destructive. You got to put some effort. You're not a spectator in this place, right? So I keep saying that. Kosmoyana said that she's especially concerned about the impacts of ChatGPT on children whose brains are still developing. Quote, what really motivated me to put it out now before waiting for a full peer review is that I am afraid in 6 to 8 months there will be some policymaker who decides, let's do ChatGPT kindergarten, Kosmoyana said. Quote, I think that would be absolutely bad and detrimental. Developing brains are at the highest risk, close quote. Sounds like child abuse, doesn't it? And speaking of child abuse, but others, including President Donald Trump and members of his administration, aren't so worried about the impacts of ChatGPT on developing brains. Trump signed an executive order in April promoting the integration of AI into American schools. Quote, to ensure the United States remains a global leader. Where we heard the global leaders of where are that? Where we heard that term, global leaders? To ensure the United States is a global leader in this technological revolution, we must provide our nation's youth with opportunities to cultivate the skills and understanding necessary to use and create the next generation of AI technology, the order reads. Quote, by fostering AI competency, we will equip our students with the foundational knowledge and skills necessary to adapt to and thrive in an increasingly digital society, close quote. Siberian Gulag sound familiar here, folks? And then why would you need it? It's telling you everything you need to know, remember? Kosmoyana said her team is now working on another study comparing the brain activity of software engineers and programmers who use AI with those that don't. Quote, the results are even worse, close quote, she said. Well, it won't be the first time that Trump has been stupid wrong. Is it true the report that someone dug up the military prep school IQ test score for Trump was 73? And that would have been pre-AI cognitive delinquency, wouldn't it? And I'll provide us the study. You can read again on it, those of you that are interested. I think it's very, very important. Again, you got to use your brain. You can't let someone else use your brain. And this digital world that God's coming into, I think this is all part of the plan. I just can't see how it's not. They know this is the problem. They know this has been going on, and they still bring it in, and Trump allows it. I don't even know. He doesn't have to know this is bad. He can just be pumped up that said that it's good, but it's still part of the plan to diminish your little ones. The study, Your Brain on ChatGPT, used to be Your Brain on Drugs. Remember what happened to those guys? Yep. Both of them, the pair in the frying pan, except each half of your brain, right? Your Brain on ChatGPT, Accumulation of Cognitive Debt when Using an AI Assistant for Essay Writing Tasks. The abstract from the study says, this study explores the neural and behavioral consequences of LM-assisted essay writing. And you just hear the sustainable development all over this. Behavioral control. The neural and behavioral consequences. Participants were divided into three groups, LLM, search engine, and brain only, no tools. Each completed 3 sessions under the same condition. In a fourth session, LLM users were reassigned to brain-only group LLM to brain, and brain-only users were reassigned to LLM condition, brain to LLM. A total of 54 participants took part in sessions 1 to 3, with 18 completing session 4. We use electroencephalography, EEG, to assess cognitive load during essay writing and analyze essays using NLP, as well as scoring essays with the help from human teachers and an AI judge across groups, NERs, N-gram patterns, and topic ontology showed within-group homogeneity. EEG revealed significant differences in brain connectivity. Brain-only participants exhibited the strongest, most distributed networks. Search engine users showed moderate engagement, and LLM users displayed the weakest connectivity. Cognitive activity scaled down in relation to external tool use. In session 4, LLM to brain participants showed reduced alpha and beta connectivity, indicating under-engagement. Brain to LLM users exhibited higher memory recall and activation of occipital, parietal, and front prefrontal areas similar to search engine users. Self-reported ownership of essays was the lowest in the LLM group and the highest in the brain-only group. LLM users also struggled to accurately quote their own work. While LLMs offer immediate convenience, our findings highlight potential cognitive costs. Is it free, folks? Even by the token price? Over 4 months, LLM users consistently underperformed at neural, linguistic, and behavioral levels. These results raise concerns about the long-term educational implication of LLM reliance and underscore the need for deeper inquiry into AI's role in learning. But Trump says it's okay. Maybe his military IQ test points out why. He likes losers around him too, don't forget. And in another report, a real-world confirmation to consider, ChatGPT may be eroding critical thinking skills, according to a new MIT study. New take on this, but there's another input that I wanted us to hear. Now we're talking critical thinking skills. Does ChatGPT harm critical thinking abilities? A new study from researchers at MIT's Media Lab has returned some concerning results. Psychiatrist Dr. Sijan Khan, C-H-A-N, not C-O-N, a psychiatrist anyway. Yes, I understand the problem. However, let's read. It may mean your little ones, their mental health and capacity. Khan, who treats children and adolescents, says that he sees many kids who rely heavily on AI in their schoolwork. Can you believe this, folks? In 3 years, we're already having doctors seeing students, psychiatrists seeing students that have to go to them. In 3 years, this product has been out. From a psychiatric standpoint, I see the over-reliance on these LLMs can have unintended psychological and cognitive consequences, especially for young people whose brains are still developing, close quote, he says. Quote, these neural connections that help you in accessing information, the memory of facts, and the ability to be resilient, all that is going to be weakened, close quote. And what I got a kick out of is when you go to this website on this story, an AI box opens up with a text inside that says, ask me anything. No, not me, the AI. But I had to chuckle at the double irony at this. The box is really big, too. So a psychiatrist is already seeing damage. It's only been available for 3 years or so, less in the schools, I'm sure. And yet there's already damage happening. Is something you really need to take serious consideration of. Something that came across that was really kind of shocking in a way, how fast this stuff is moving along. It's almost like we don't not hear it. And it's not like I haven't seen this or almost experienced it myself. I have experienced it through friends. a long time ago. This is not even new stuff, but that it's now the governments are beginning to implement it right in the street. This is utterly insane. In Canada, a psychiatrist can just look at you in a public place, sitting on a bench, or eating a sandwich, or walking down the sidewalk, and they can, quote, certify, close quote, certify you as being insane, and the police will arrest you and take you to a psychiatric evaluation. Boy, it must have been right after you use AI, huh? You have no rights, no law, no due process, and no defense. The psych doctors are the ones who are insane, and the government authoritarians, of course, as Health Ranger was retweeting Mario Zela's video. The post text saying, a biophysicist's grad was just detained under BC's, British Columbia's Mental Health Act, all based on a psychiatrist's opinion after observing him in a cafe. He looked at him and said, quote, I'm certifying you, close quote. And more ominously, this abduction occurred just days after this grad went to many government organizations, giving them notice of the harm to the public that a certain law would cause if it was implemented without care. And so we start to look at the background. It's harder to get information in the background. There's some other reports coming out about what was maybe really going on. But you got to look at this video and consider what you're watching, because within the four corners of the video, if you will, there is enough evidence to show that this is really already being used improperly. Nicholas Jordan Wagter, locked up for political activism in Vancouver, B.C. Liberal MP is Talib Nur Mohammed, and Nicholas Jordan Wagter is being held in a Vancouver General Hospital against his will. Why? He had visited Vancouver Liberal MP Talib Nur Mohammed's office with a written concerns. The video on Instagram shows him being certified by police in his car and locked up. Doesn't show that. You know that he's going to be hauled off, though. They, in fact, are sitting there in his car in a parking lot, I suppose, and an officer or somebody certified. It must have been the agent of the car 87, I think they call it, that certifies him, sitting right there in his car, certifies him as needing a psych eval. His MP, Talib, is the first Muslim MP elected in British Columbia. He is a recipient of Queen's Diamond Jubilee Medal in 2013. Doctors deemed Wagner certifiable and have apprehended him into custody. Why? Again, due process. There is none. And this is why it's not mentioned on the video. You have to observe that the due process is being violated. The ostensible reasons offered in the video, and this website, the Indie Media East Coast, has a bunch of posts that were done, screen captures of the posts that you need to go through and read. I'm not going to read all of them. This is my point on this is, again, we start out due process. And when it doesn't get followed, how people can be harmed, how your life can be upended, how there is complete uncertainty. You're abducted by the government. The ostensible reason offered by another poster was that he was detained for some sort of prior bomb threat as one input into this. Okay, so let's consider that, though. But that's not what we hear in the video, and that's the problem part of this. Nor would the cops need to hear he had been certified to arrest him. Not detain him, but arrest him. If the Vancouver cops had probable cause of the suspected crime. But they didn't do that. He was not arrested, but detained on a psych eval, continuing investigation. Over, this is the end of a many-week imposition that gave him no notice it was going on, the determination of which was made behind the scene and behind the doors, and they said that they were taking him in because they didn't think that he would cooperate and show up to a meeting, never giving him a chance to try. Again, college biomedical grad. Went to every class to get there, didn't he? these psych evals are not new. I mean, they've been going on for decades. That it's done in the street without a judge is new. Hunting you down without probable cause is new. Hunting you down and harassing you because some government official is scared that he might get caught or has gotten caught doing something wrong is not new, but it's just as unlawful. And no prior notice at all that a certification was made weeks prior specifically and intentionally denied Nicholas Wagter's due process and reeks of retaliation here, as we heard, retaliation's an offense that the government's not supposed to do. Vindictive, right? You'll see that. You listen for that in the video. Unilaterally determining that he would not cooperate or engage as a cause of abduction is prohibited forced association or unlawful restraint of liberty in the United States and evidences the presumption of guilt and of involuntary servitude without cause more than naked authorita. The doctors tied in with this police as an enforcement mechanism is new as well. But it isn't even a doctor. The relationship is described as a psychiatric nurse working together with a police officer to help de-escalate situations, provide crisis intervention, and connect people to community services and support. But the video sounds like an escalation into a problem by a psychotic nurse and a complicit police. The video itself shows there is no due process in the interaction of the officers, admitting there doesn't need to be any by any standard, and the police colluded to enable that abduction. An investigation over a period of weeks isn't the crisis that the CAR 87 group is said to help into, but to help out of. And I didn't hear in the video any referrals for help that the CAR 87 group is said to be set up to provide either. It sounds clearly like an overreach before getting into any particulars at all when you go look at what that organization is set up to do, at least by the descriptions. And I've been saying, you know, a habeas corpus petition is going to be needed to be carried everywhere people go anymore. You know, Canuckistinians may have to be the first with this sort of threat hanging over them if you intend to be local at all, your auditors and all up there. People need to challenge this lawfulness of this law, if it is. I don't even know what they're calling it up there. That habeas is going to flip the burden to the government to show the necessity that they can articulate in the particular case. The particular case, not this generality I was hearing on the video either. The retaliation for providing notice to the government of its failures of duties or potentially or of harms it may or will cause is not any such exigency either. And I'm sure those of you in Kazakhstan likely know better how all this works and better than I can explain it. But from what I see from the vid, and that's what I'm having to limit it somewhat to, and then some other posts that Nicholas Jordan Wagter put on his Instagram of him in the ward, in the psych eval, and they're slightly mistreating him there as well, which is another thing. But from what I can see from the vid, even if there is some outstanding but unfulfilled suspicion of a bomb threat, this law is a bigger bomb threat to Kunukistinians being detonated. And then consider this hitting the Siberian Gulag. And another warning that caught my ear, again in Kunukistan, warning from Apple to Canada on Bill C-22. Again, start to understand how these might be pulled together at some point. Quote, as you know, this is a bit chilling too, and I saw the video run on this on X. You listen to the guy's presentation from Apple to Canadian Parliament or whatever, the hearing, the committee running and looking through C-22. Quote, as you know, this may be one of the last times we're permitted to discuss the consequence of this legislation publicly. Close quote. Quote, that's because of this bill's secrecy provision, which forbid companies like Apple from even discussing the orders we receive with our users or the public, close quote. So think about that. That's because of the bill's secrecy provision, which forbids companies like Apple from even discussing the orders we receive with our users or the public. No consent of the governed in the Siberian Gulag for a psych eval, And as I think on this style of harassment, essentially stalking people that are outspoken or that take action of some kind to question the government. And I'm reminded of a recent email I received relative to all this and tying these things together, how this starts to work. Again, it's just pushing, it's incrementally encroaching on what we are doing. If they don't get it now, they keep pushing, they get it later. But this recent email I received, it shows me pictures of a surveillance plane that's now always flying very, very low over a listener's house in Canada. And there seems to be no apparent reason it should be there, or routinely as it is. And I'm also informed that there are many different drones being spotted surveilling areas similarly, and by more and more people seeing this as well. And this report of a surprise unilateral psych eval could be one of those uses. Remember, Nicholas Wagner was in his car. He was mobile, and they tracked him down. And it causes me to say, as I mentioned earlier here, read the law that they're applying to this guy and how the government enforces these cases and defends them. Now, research for yourself the habeas corpus and have copies of a petition for habeas corpus ready and available. Understand how to use it and how to answer the government justification. It's not a justification. It's the reason they give that they've been given license to give. You need to be able to defeat that. You need to know that ahead of time to be able to do that. And you take your petition and you give your friends and your family a copy. If and they hesitate to take it because they don't understand or what they don't want to get involved, ask them to humor you and put their copy or copies in a safe place just in case, because they might need it too. And you carry one in your pocket always. I talked about this decade or more ago. It was coming. Kanukistan, it looks like it's here. And when if they ever get you caught up, you file that thing when you need to challenge the unwarranted restraint on your liberty. Don't be without that device. It's not a guarantee, but they're going to be surprised that they have the burden to prove. But there's more to the story. It might very well be that Apple and Google may have stopped the decryption portion of C-22. Again, don't go to sleep because they might have been able to stall one part of it. The rest is sitting there. Eventually, they move it on. Eventually, they talk to the parties, the companies, and they work out how they're going to make it work. Apple argues liberals' lawful access bill could put users' personal data at risk. Bill C-22 would allow police spies to more easily, Vince, easily obtain private information during investigations. I'll go back to Nicholas Wagner and understand what they've done there. I just looked at him. They did some questions. They confronted him. You'll hear about that first confrontation. That's all the nurse or the doctor needed to turn around and start doing an investigation they never told him about. Then you're sitting there with your phone. Public Safety Minister Gary Anandasangari is facing mounting calls, including from the maker of the iPhone, to amend his lawful access bill, and amid concerns it will weaken digital encryption and introduce cyber vulnerabilities. And this is giving you a clue, your news, this, your notice, or maybe start doing the same. Give him a call. Give him the reasons why it's got to be changed, or pull it. Just pull it. But here they have, it will weaken digital encryption and introduce cyber vulnerabilities. Weaken? Digital encryption can't be weakened or it doesn't exist. It's destroyed. Oh, you can have weak encryption or give government the key, but when it's breached, what's the point? Bill C-22 would allow police and security officials to more easily, Vince, obtain Canadians' private information and intercept communications as part of a criminal and intelligence investigations. The legislation would also require, quote, electronic service providers, close quote, a broad category that remains undefined but is largely assumed to include tech and telecommunication companies, to update their systems so that they can seamlessly turn over information to law enforcement agencies and the Canadian Security Intelligence Service if they have a warrant. For those of you in Kyrgyzstan, go look at FISA in the United States to see how easy that warrant is to get. They would also be required to retain metadata for up to 1 year. Don't underestimate the power of metadata. It's meant to address a problem police and intelligence agencies have long flagged, describing dealing with providers as the Wild West, where consistency and reliability are lacking. Apple, which uses encryption to secure users' health data, the location of family members, messages, photos, financial data, and more, has now publicly waded into the debate. The company stressed it will work with law enforcement, but warned that Bill C-22 would allow the government to issue orders weakening encryption and create vulnerabilities that hackers and hostile nation states could exploit. What about that nation state called your government that's hostile? Just because they don't like what you're doing. Just like Nicholas Wagner. In a statement Wednesday, the U.S.-based tech giant said that, quote, at a time of rising and pervasive threats from malicious actors seeking access to user information, Bill C-22, as drafted, would undermine our ability to offer the powerful privacy and security features users expect from Apple. This legislation would allow the Canadian government to force companies to break encryption by inserting backdoors into their products. What did I say weaken? I said break. That's not weaken. They say weaken. It's not weaken. Inserting backdoors into their products, something Apple will never do, the statement goes on to say. Quote, we will continue our long-standing cooperation with governments to help protect public safety while also advocating tirelessly against any measures that would put users' personal data at risk, close quote. Government says it's not asking for backdoors. Euphemism away, I suppose. An Apple official speaking to reporters on the condition that they not be named said the company has been frank with the Liberal government about its concerns in hopes of seeing the bill amended, but added there's a difference in opinion on the issue. Anand Dasangari and public officials also faced questions from opposing MPs about encryption during the parliamentary committee Tuesday. Shannon Hagel, Director General of National Security Police at Public Safety, called the bill, quote, encryption neutral, close quote, and insisted the government isn't asking companies to create backdoors or vulnerabilities. Quote, companies create all sorts of changes within their system for purposes that they see fit. We expect through this piece of legislation to find safe ways to maintain their cybersecurity, close quote, she testified before the Public Safety Committee. An Apple official said the legal interpretation doesn't back what the government is arguing. They compared it to saying that the bill itself doesn't cut a hole in the wall, but allows the government to order someone else to cut a hole in the wall. Have you ever heard of third-party liability, folks? You hear that a little bit behind the witch hat? Just every once and again, maybe. At the end of the day, there's still a hole in the wall, said the official. Minister's official categorically rejects backdoor claims. In a long statement, a spokesperson from the ministry said the government categorically rejects claims that the Bill C-22 introduces so-called backdoors into their product. Well, so-called this and so-called that. It still breaks the encryption. It's not weakened. It's broken. Bill C-22 is designed to modernize lawful access authorities to ensure enforcement have the legal tools required to prevent, investigate, and respond to modern crime and protect Canadians in a manner that is consistent with the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedom, Simon Lafortune says. Yeah, blah, 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 your rights. I don't care what they call it. Breaking encryption, allowing decryption, enables the Siberian Gulag and where the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedom does not apply. Third party wise, correct? Government's not involved there. And where have we heard of the problems of modernization? And I hope you said, well, when we get behind the woodshed, of course. And thank you for those that did. Quote, the legislation also does not compel companies to weaken encryption or create systematic vulnerabilities. Canada has been clear that strong encryption is essential to cybersecurity, economic growth, and the protection of Canadians' personal information. But remember, the future that they want only provides a collectivist view of prosperity, that shared debt responsibility that you can read about in Agenda 2030, and from China. And Carney is keen on China now, isn't he? Nothing in Bill C-22 changes that position, close quote. The statement goes on to say that large corporations operating globally already comply with lawful access frameworks in multiple other jurisdictions. Quote, comparable authorities exist across all G7 countries, all Five Eyes countries, throughout the European Union, and many other democratic states, close quote, says LaFortune. Quote, in other words, for international companies to claim that the Bill C-22 would somehow undermine their ability to offer robust privacy and security features is simply misleading, because they already abide by similar standards in other countries all over the world that already have a lawful access framework in place, quote, quote. Last year, Apple removed its strongest data security tool from customers in the UK after the British government asked the company to create the ability to access the content via a backdoor. Its Advanced Data Protection, ADP, Advanced Data Protection Program is set up so only account holders can view items such as photos or documents that they have stored online through end-to-end encryption. Asked if Apple would stop offering the advanced service in Canada, an official said it's not something it wants to do, but reiterated that the company will never build what it sees as a back door. Conservative MP Frank Caputo, the party's public safety critic, suggested at committee Tuesday that the bill should be updated to address concerns around encryption and include sharper definitions. Anand Sanangari suggested he's open to reviewing the opposition's proposed amendments, be the opposition folks. And part of that abduction might be to interfere with or hack your phone. Interestingly, this article is making the rounds again, and I thought it would be a good reminder to revisit what we are up against in this era of presumption of insanity, remembering it's not just Palantir. Ontario police are using spyware that lets them remotely take over your smartphone. They're fighting to keep almost everything about it secret. Researchers behind the new report into an Israeli spyware program used to monitor civil society members say that they have found possible links between the controversial technology and Ontario Provincial Police, OPP, suggesting it may have been used in investigations. So are you tying this together? Let's throw the drones in. They got this technology to pull stuff off your phone, maybe? Is that why they're getting so close to some of you? Enough now, you're emailing me about it? An allegation the force doesn't deny. The report with Citizens Lab at the University of Toronto released this week said researchers traced the IP addresses of Canadian-based customers of Paragon Solutions to the address of the OPP's general headquarters in Toronto. Paragon sells the military-grade spyware program Graphite to government clients for national security purposes, but the tools have been found on the phones of journalists, activists, and other civil society members in countries around the world in recent years using communication apps like WhatsApp. And please get out of WhatsApp, please. I mean, anybody who's been on it should already know to be out. But anyway, it's not the only one. But so what do we got? Journalists and activists, they shoot them in Israel, don't they? In Palestine, those activists and those journalists get shot, don't they? Using what? AI and Palantir and Paragon, don't they? Well, we've also uncovered court records that point to a growing ecosystem of spyware capability among police services in Ontario. Kate Robertson, a senior researcher at Citizens Lab and a co-author of the report, told Global News, quote, what these findings show is that there is a widening gap in public awareness about the extent to which spyware technology is being used in Canada. Researchers tracing servers connected to Paragon's Graphite tool found additional suspected deployments at four other Ontario addresses, including a shared warehouse, a strip mall, and a brewery, and an apartment. An OPP spokesperson declined to confirm it was has contracted Paragon for investigative purposes, but also didn't deny the report's findings in a statement to Global News. Quote, the Ontario Provincial Police is mandated to maintain public safety and to prevent or investigate crime, and apparently also presumed insanity, while respecting the rights and privileges of citizens and visitors of Canada, which don't exist for those presumed insane. Acting Staff Sergeant Jeffrey DeGuidance said, adding the interception of private communication, quote, is only used to advance serious criminal investigations, close quote, and requires judicial authorization. Again, for those of you in Kanukistan, look toward FISA in the United States and tell me how much protection you have. Quote, the OPP uses investigative tools and techniques in full compliance with the laws of Canada, including the Charter of Rights and Freedom. And that's all. When they say including, that's it. If they apply. If they haven't been eroded. If they aren't going to challenge them against you when it comes around. Releasing information about specific investigation techniques and technology could jeopardize active investigations and threaten public and officer safety, the statement continued. Quote, the OPP respects Canada's Charter of Rights and Freedoms, and we remain committed to maintaining public trust and confidence. And I looked at it, I mean, respects. Don't you take an oath to uphold it? You just respect it? Respect it in how? Like you respect the snake? The scorpion? What is Paragon? Paragon Solutions was founded in Israel in 2019 by former Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak and Ehud Schneerson, the former commander of Israel's Cyber Warfare and Military Intelligence Group, Unit 8200. Ehud Barak and Epstein, right? What are they tracking? Who are they tracking? Why? Its spyware product, Graphite, is marketed as unique to other spyware tools like NSO's group Pegasus. Again, you've heard all this behind the woodshed, but it's being focused in on Ontario police right now. NSO's group Pegasus, in that it specifically grants clients access to a targeted device instant messaging applications rather than the entire smartphone. Citizen Lab says it shared details from its mapping and Paragon's infrastructure, which establishes the potential OPP link with Meta last year after determining WhatsApp could be used as an infection vector by Graphite users despite its end-to-end encryption software. So how's Apple going to answer to that? In late January this year, WhatsApp informed about 90 users in more than two dozen countries, including journalists and other civil society members, that they were likely being targeted by Paragon software. The company subsequently closed a zero-click vulnerability that allowed Paragon to access devices without victims having to click on an infected link like common malware attacks. Instead, attackers would upload a PDF or other document to a WhatsApp group that would then be parsed by the device, giving the attacker access. Quote, we've seen firsthand how commercial spyware can be weaponized to target journalists and civil society, and these companies must be held to account, close quote, a WhatsApp spokesperson told Global News. Quote, our security team is constantly working to stay ahead of threats, and we will continue working to protect people's ability to communicate privately. How is that possible with AI can hunt things down so quick at the speed of an electron? The Citizens Lab reports also details the use of Paragon spyware against journalists and human rights activists in Italy. The Italian government acknowledged last month it was a Paragon customer after previously denying knowledge of its issue, and the director of the External Intelligence Service confirmed that the agency had deployed Graphite many times. In previous years, NSO Group, which is also based in Israel, was found to be behind the spyware hack of WhatsApp accounts in 2019, and subsequent investigation in 2021 found that company's Pegasus program had been used to target journalists and activists around the world. Paragon, which was reportedly acquired by Florida-based investment group AE Industrial Partners last year, has tried to position itself publicly as one of the industry's more responsible players, more responsible. Not responsible, just more. Just a little bit more. What is Kanukistan's history with spyware? The RCMP publicly acknowledged in 2022 that it has used spyware tools as far back as 2022 and access encrypted communications of investigated targets. So can we say C22 is essentially legalizing Pegasus when Apple or Google won't participate? An RCMP spokesperson confirmed police still deploys the spyware, which it refers to as, quote, on-device investigative tools, quote, quote, ODITs, but like the OPP stressed that they are only used for, quote, serious criminal and national security investigations, close quote, after obtaining judicial authorization. And what did Trudeau do with the Freedom Rally and call those people and raise that up to, but a national security concern, didn't? Quote, the RCMP's cautious and measured approach is evidenced by the fact that from 2017 to 2024, ODITs have only been used in support 35 investigations in which a combined total of 57 devices were targeted, Marie-Yves Breton said in a statement. Quote, to be clear, ODITs are used extremely rarely and in limited cases by the RCMP. By the RCMP. Yeah, right. Like, now, they're limited. Their use is always targeted, it's always time-limited, and it's never to conduct unwarranted or mass surveillance. Okay, never to, right? That's guaranteed. As soon as they do it, like, it burns in their face, it burns their eyes out, what? Where's the accountability? How do you know never? These tools are not used in secret, close quote. The RCMP did not say if spyware is used to target civil society members or if it's a client of Paragon, saying it will not comment on specific investigations or tools. Canadian parliamentarians have undertaken studies on law enforcement use of spyware tools that concluded regulations were needed. Canada, along with 9 other allied nations, also backed former U.S. President Joe Biden's push in 2023 to counter misuse of commercial spyware and impose international controls. Oh, but the government will honor the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms. But no Canadian legislation has been introduced to address or regulate spyware use. A spokesperson for Public Safety Ministry David McQuinty's office did not say if the government was working on such a legislation, referring questions about the Citizens Lab findings on Canadian police use of spyware to the OPP. The Ontario Solicitor General Office did not provide comment. Robertson said it was critical for the government to ensure it's not involved in the gut targeting of civil society members through programs that could risk national security. Quote, when governments become buyers of this proliferating hacked-for-hire industry, it will really should be understood that they're investigating an insecurity and vulnerability of all people in Canada and around the world, close quote, she said. Quote, that's not why it's not only a question of what controls are needed about use, but also very significant questions about what's proportionate and tolerable in the first place in a free and democratic society, close quote. But what is proportionate or tolerable restraint to free? That anyone allows such a stupid question. That's STOOPID for the hearing sensitive. And speaking of Palantir, the folks at Geopolitics Prime on Telegram have been putting together, at least this is the first of their deeper dive into the vampire squid Palantir, if you're interested. It's entitled The United States of Palantir Part 1. And we'll go through the little list here, and you can go through all the links. Once you get the link here, they got just a gobs of links that you can go through, and I'll just read through the highlights of this. We spent an entire month, they say, digging into how Palantir wrapped its tentacles around every lever of the U.S. machine. Everything below, authentic, documented, officially registered deals and programs. The titles are clickable, so you can follow the links and read more. And there's a lot, so be prepared. Just you're going to probably attach this to every company that's involved at all, maybe globally. How Palantir merged 75 contracts into $110 billion Bravo Dollar Pentagon lock. Now it runs the war machine's backbone. USDA hands Palantir $300 million in a single file on every farmer. And some of these stories I've covered behind the woodshed as I read that one. A silent takeover, Palantir became the Air Force's operating system long before anybody noticed. U.S. Marines under digital control. Project Dynamis puts one-click kill authority into every Marine's hands. A decade in the shadows, running missions before contracts existed, now gatekeeping who gets in. Palantir and DHS, unified platform merges travel data, facial scans, and immigration records for enforcement. Palantir and the IRS, tax returns and crypto wallets piped straight to ICE skipping judicial approval. Palantir and ICE, 4 billion records, one app, zero access rules documented. Palantir and HSI, your phone extracted, your contacts run against student visa databases. Palantir and HHS, millions of medical records searchable inside a defense contractor's system. Palantir and CDC, battlefield software now tracks outbreaks and decides who gets vaccines and who wouldn't, though, who didn't, more importantly, as we saw in the great COVID swindle. Palantir and FDA, formula crisis let them in, now they own the data on everything America eats. Further investigations will cover Palantir's deepening ties to the FBI, DOJ, CIA, CBP, NASA, and other federal agencies yet to be exposed. What we already know is just the surface, more contacts, more integrations, more agencies are being wired into same private platform. Again, as I've been touching on, they've put in a nice space to read and collect up. I think we need to know about that. I wish you would take a little bit of time and educate yourself. Again, these phones are the Siberian Gulag and other things. We've talked about a lot of it behind the woodshed, the routers, the battlefield of Internet of Things that has been created for them to surveil us, and we pay for it essentially on top of that. If you found anything interesting today and found some value in it, tell other people, let them know, get the links, donate, buy a coffee for the crew, buy lots of coffees for the crew. Support the network, support the vision that we have, we're trying to build. This was BTWRLM 670, and I'll be with you next week, Tech Diffs, or Nature Willing.
Echoes call, the hour is near, behind the woodshed, the truth you'll hear. Every Sunday, the clock strikes three, Hal's voice rolls like thunder, piercing. Behind the woodshed, no stone unturned, house words ignite, the airwaves burn, stand up, listen, it's time to learn. Behind the woodshed, where truths are earned. Law to liberty, the spectrum line, in house court, no place to hide, a can of wood bass, ready to burst for unspoken truths and unquenchable thirst. Behind the woodshed. Truth still reigns.
we keep the call. Behind the woodshed standing tall.